Signs of the season of spring are everywhere. Growing bushes, budding trees, soil crying out for plantings, March Madness. Some of these signs feature very prominently in today's gospel. Each, but perhaps trees which grow figs, stand in for the central message here. Like the fig tree, we too must bear fruit, the fruit of Christian living. And fruit is always preceded by planting and then growth. We know what someone means when they say they're putting down roots, right? Or when we describe our children as growing like weeds. All right, I'm looking around at some of the children here. One of the great joys of being a pastor is you get to watch kids grow up. You remember them at baptism, and then you watch them grow up. It's beautiful. In a very similar way, we can understand that spiritual growth in particular, it takes time and commitment and energy. Notice in the parable that it was not simply enough for a fig tree to be a fig tree. It had to bear fruit. The same is true for our identity as Christians. We too must bear fruit. Now, I must say as an aside, the importance of fruit to the first century diet cannot be overstated. Jews, like their Roman contemporaries, they scorned vegetables, which is not a recommendation for growing children, by the way. And yet, figs, on the other hand, figs were easily dried and preserved, and dates were used in the making of honey, so fruit was very important. I might also mention that of the vegetables that were important, cabbage was on the list, which might suggest that the Irish indeed were in first century Palestine. Anyway, beyond my weekly food lesson, I want to emphasize that Christian living, it requires a lot of patient tending. Patience, yes, that virtue, which is difficult to master no matter our age. Patience to allow God to plant seeds in our hearts, and the patience to nurture those same seeds of faith in our conduct. Patience means that we open our heart to God, that we exercise Christ-like care for ourselves and for those around us, and that we seek the nourishment, the fertilizer, if you will, to energize us and help us grow. And how do we do that? Yes, especially during this season, we recall the Lenten disciplines of fasting, penance, and prayer. So we seek to pray more intentionally. We always remember that God knows what we need even before we ask Him. We seek to be reconciled with those around us, even those who seem to oppose us at every turn. And we seek to fast, not for the show of it, but to give us even more time to concentrate upon God. And by the way, these three disciplines are not reserved for Lent only. They can be an integral part of our daily walk with Christ. Repentance. Repentance is not self-shaming. Rather, especially in the Gospel of Luke, to repent means to turn and look at the world in a new way. Repentance is a changed mind, a willingness to adopt a new perspective, It's about turning around and reorienting our lives. And once we've done that, we can grow closer to God. I suppose we could read the parable as a threat of sorts on its face. There's only 1 year left. You better get it right. Or we can view it through the lens of invitation to work at the soil, to dig at our hearts, to turn away from those things that keep us from God. Things like fear and hatred and jealousy, intolerance. And we can turn toward a new way of looking at the world. You know, I think that one of the most beautiful things about the parable is that the fig tree is not in it alone, right? The gardener helps. The gardener wants the tree to live. God wants us to live. So let's look at our lives. And let's be bold and ask the hard questions. Am I stingy with my love for others? Am I withholding forgiveness from old wrongs? Am I so busy making a living that I've forgotten to make a life? It may not matter if we are objectively being wronged by another, but be assured that the more we hold on to that wrong, the more it hurts us more than the other person. In living with resentment, be assured that those hours and hours and hours spent on scratching that wound, that the person who's offended us is not sitting there spending as much time reflecting in the same way that we are. So on this day, let us move to the altar, the holy table, where the gardener provides food for our journey, a type of a fertilizer, I guess, for our faith. Are only the sinless invited to the supper? No, but repent. Are only those worthy invited? No, but turn towards what is worthwhile. Is this the meal which is the only means of forgiveness and grace? No, but eat and drink, for the gardener expects a harvest. So as we gather here, God shares with us food that will see us through what was the cold and dark winter of Lent. He will help us to see the spring. It is God who tends to us, helping us to grow and change in new and holy ways. And it's here that we are nourished as we make our way through the spring of Easter, of Lent, to the glory of Easter. And my brothers and sisters, as people on the journey of